This morning's scripture passage is taken from 1 Peter 2:18 through 21. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only the good and the gentle, but also the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when we sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do a good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, so that you might follow in his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Chris. Father, this is your word, and we give you praise for it. We ask you to let your word change us this morning. Lord, we are in your presence as we are reminded by this little candle flickering in the front. For 40 years, you reminded Israel of your presence in the form of a flame every night, guiding them by fire. And Lord, we want to be in your presence. You want to be blessed by your presence. We pray that your word would change us, that your spirit would cause within us a desire to live in such a way that pleases you. So Lord, please help me in bringing this word this morning. Let us have ears to hear. And I pray ultimately that we would be encouraged and empowered by your gift of grace to live differently in this world. May we shine like stars in this world and particularly at work, I pray, this week. God, would you change our understanding of how we're to live at work and relate to supervisors and those in authority over us? I pray that you, through the power of the gospel, would grant us to be a living witness to the testimony of who you are. And I pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many of you think of work as a place of worship. Do you go to work and see where you spend most of the time and throughout your week? Is that a place for you to worship God? I pray that's the result of our time this morning and coming to this text, is that you would see your work as a place that you're called to live out the gospel in front of everybody. Don't listen to anybody who tells you that your faith ought to remain in the pew and at home, not in the public square. But yet God has called us, we're called to be followers of Jesus in front of a watching world, and particularly at work. And so Peter wants you to take Jesus to work with you, and that's the whole point of the message this morning. He gives us, there's one command in these verses that were read. One command, that's it. It's the title of the sermon, be subject to your masters. And to apply that, it's be willing to submit yourself gladly to your supervisor. That's the point. And you might think, how in the world can we do that? And you really don't know who I work for. Peter actually does. So to give us a little context, a couple of verses back, what's on Peter's mind? He's writing to suffering people. He knows everyone who's going to read this letter is suffering. And he knows you suffer at work. And so here's a word for you in how you work, because your work can be worship at least in two ways. Number one, the kind of work you do can be done as an offering to God. Right? We're called in Scripture to do everything we do to the glory of God. So code to the glory of God, right? Take care of patients to the glory of God. Answer the phone to the glory of God. Get behind a microscope to the glory of God. Whatever you find yourself doing, do it to the glory of God. So one way in which this manifestation of God's glory can happen at work is how you do your work. It's the kind of work you do. And then the second thing is how you do your work. And that's what Peter is concerned about this morning. It's what is your attitude towards your supervisors at work? And so there's some things in his mind that shape this direction that we're heading in. Two verses I want to point you to. It's in verses chapter 2, verse 9, which he says, "You're a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Why? Right? Why are you holy? Why are you called out? Why does God treasure you as a possession? Why does he cherish you? What is he doing in your life? Why are you here? Why are we here? And he keeps going and he says, he has called you, you are called and brought into a relationship with him so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into light. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's why you go to work. That's why we do everything we do, is to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of dark and into light. We're to proclaim his excellencies. This is on Peter's mind as he begins to keep writing. So that proclaiming of his excellencies has a way of working its way out through your life. There ought not to be any Christians who are ashamed or afraid to live in a public way out their faith. No such thing as closet Christians. You can't keep your faith to yourself. You can for a season. But pretty soon, if you truly know the Lord, you're going to get so excited about him, you just can't be quiet. That's the way it ought to be. And so he keeps going and he says, "I urge you, brothers, keep your conduct," verse 12, "keep your conduct among the Gentiles," which simply means unbelievers. It's Peter's word for everybody who doesn't know the Lord. "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable." We ought to live honorable lives, do good things, honorable behavior. Why? So people will think we're great? No, keep reading. "Keep your conduct honorable so that when they speak against you," so you get prepared, there's going to be a little persecution, there's going to be some suffering in your life, that's all in the text today. "When they speak against you as evildoers, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Meaning, you're to live out your faith and get criticized for it and made fun of for it, so that the people who are criticizing you and making fun of you will see, wow, this guy's faith is real. Her faith is real. And will eventually become convinced. And when God visits them and pulls away the blinders over their eyes, they will glorify God. That's the goal of Christian behavior, is to not only manifest the glory of God, but to help other people be drawn into it. So Peter goes on. So this idea of behavior is shaping Peter's thinking. So it's the context that keeps going. We spent a little time last week looking at 2 weeks ago, submitting to government authorities, right? Submission, willing to submit to those who are in authority over us, is the banner theme over all of what Peter is saying. And so he works it out. He gives us illustrations of what that looks like. It looks like submitting to local government, obeying local ordinances and local laws. It means obeying the president, whoever he is, and the emperor, because Peter is writing at a time when Nero is emperor, not a good emperor, persecuted Christians, killed them. And Peter is saying, obey them. Right? Not if they cause you to or call you to do something that's explicitly against the will of God. He doesn't want you to obey the emperor and go into sin, something you know you shouldn't do, because our ultimate allegiance is to God. And so he's working it out. But obey them. Your disposition ought to be, I'm going to obey. And so obey emperors, obey local government. And he keeps moving. He goes on down. Next thing on his mind is, okay, let's take this to work. "Servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the," with all respect, "not only to the good and the gentle," but also what? "To those who are unjust." That's incredible, isn't it? Is that really supposed to be there? Is this really true? Am I really supposed to submit to that self-absorbed jerk of a guy I work for? What's the answer? Yes, you are. Okay, servants. Well, maybe this doesn't apply to us because we're not a servant. Well, actually, it does. The word refers to a kind of a semi-permanent employee with no legal or economic freedom in the first century world. We don't have an exact parallel, but it refers to an employer and an employee relationship. So the thinking of this verse as applying to employers works perfectly. And are you a servant? You might think, well, I'm free. Didn't we see last week we're called to live as free people? Yes, and Peter qualifies that, but don't use your freedom as a covering up for evil. And so he thinks of all Christians as servants. Isn't it? Verse 16, right? Live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil, but live as servants of God. You're all servants. We're all servants. Every one of us are a servant. And if you have a job, this applies to you. So Peter wants you to know that you are to have this kind of relationship to your employer, and he gives four reasons. He will say, because this kind of submission at work pleases God. And second, God will reward this kind of submission. Third, this is to what you are called to. And fourth, this is the way Jesus lived. So we'll get to three of those reasons this week. We won't get to the last one. That'll be next week. But he's saying, here's the way God wants you to live in an attitude of submission to your supervisor, even if he's bad. I know it. Peter knows this. He's saying, not just to the guys who are easy to work with, to the ones who get under your skin. You place yourself under them willingly. That's what Peter's calling us to do. So to translate this, this is my translation of this verse for us today in the 21st century. Employees, obey your supervisors with all respect, not only to those who are kind and good, but also to those who are crooked and harsh. Why on earth would we have such a command? Why on earth would Peter say this? What is God's purpose in giving this command? And he says, do it with all respect. The ESV says respect. The Greek word is actually phobos, which you know what that is, right? It's fear. So with all fear, be in subjection to your supervisor, the harsh one. And let's just forget about thinking about good supervisors. If you have a good supervisor, what? Praise the Lord. We should sing another song, right? But if you don't, this is for you. This is for all of us. So just forget about the good ones. It's easy to obey folks who are nice to work with. It's difficult, incredibly hard, to submit to someone who annoys the pants off of you. And yet, this is what we're called to do. So just forget about the good supervisors. Let's look at those who are not. The crooked is the word that's used here. Crooked. Unjust. With all fear. Now, question. Should we fear supervisors? Is that what Peter means when he uses that word fear? It's translated as respect, but it's just the word fear. What does that mean? Why would he use that word? I think it shapes the meaning of the context here because Peter, nowhere else in his letters, commands us to fear other men. But we are commanded to fear God. In fact, he just said it, right? Verse 16, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. I think that fear, as he's thinking about our conduct and how it gets lived out in the world, that fear shapes what he's saying. He nowhere commands us to fear other men. He everywhere commands us to fear God. So I think what he's saying is, out of a reverent fear of God, obey your boss. And in fact, this is exactly what the NIV chooses to use in translating this passage. And it says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. I think that's what he's getting at. You out of it's a fear of God. God has put this person in authority over you. He's a pain to deal with. Yes. But that doesn't mean you treat him with disrespect or her with disrespect. You treat her with utmost respect out of an understanding of the relationship to God, not because of the deserving nature of that person, who in this case doesn't have any because he or she's crooked and mean and unjust. So Peter's saying, what you understand about God ought to shape what you do at work every day. You cannot go to work and forget who you are. If you do, then your understanding of the calling of the Christian is deficient. We're not called to be holy on Sundays and unholy the rest of the week. We're called to live out a faith that is consistent. It means you take your understanding of who God is to work with you on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. You need to be reminded by it, right? Who you are, because we get weary. So this idea of us submitting to those who are over us is God's will, is what Peter is saying. Now, question, where did he get this? Isn't this an incredible idea? Obey, be kind, with all respect, all out of fear of God, all diligence, submit yourself to the wicked boss you have, that one who drives you nuts. Where did Peter get this? Did he dream it up? Actually, I think he probably got it from Jesus. So there's at least two places I see where Peter would have gotten this. Remember, Peter sat with Jesus his whole life, I mean, the last 3 years of his life, and listened to Jesus teach. Luke 6, 32 and 33 says this. This is Jesus speaking, doing a little teaching, and he says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. What Jesus is saying is, you've got to be different. If you want to follow me, you need to be different. Godless people who have no mindfulness of God can be nice to those who are nice to them. I'm calling you to be nice to the people who are not nice to you. He goes on in verse 35. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be the sons of the Most High. Why does God want us to live like this? Because He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. So be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. God calls us to live like Him. We're to emulate at work the kind of character that God exhibits to the world and to us. We're to be merciful to unmerciful people because at one point we were very unmerciful towards God and all the others around us. And yet His gracious love has changed us. So we're to be a living example of the gospel. If we fail to live out our faith, not only will we not receive any reward for it from God, we'll be of no earthly benefit to people who need hope and need to know that they can be changed. Peter got this from Jesus. He learned this crazy command from this guy we call Lord. The question is, are we going to follow Him? God calls us to love the people who hate us. He calls us to be kind to the people who are unkind to us. Jesus tells His disciples, the folks who make fun of you, I want you to add them to your prayer list. The people who belittle you and abuse you for the sake of the name of Jesus, I want you on your knees before me talking about them. That's what we're called to. We are to love the people who do not love us. Why? Because there was a day when we did not love God and Jesus died for us. We're to live out the truth that we have received. So this is like Jesus is saying, Christian, you are a servant of God. And so obey your supervisor at work. Yes, I know he is a self-absorbed, inconsiderate, rude know-it-all, but I want you to joyfully obey him. Not because he is worthy of such obedience, but because I am worthy of your obedience. I want you to treat him the same way I have treated you. That's what we're called to. And by the way, this is not some unique doctrine that only Peter teaches. This is all through the New Testament. Paul writes this in his letter to the Ephesians. He writes it in Colossians, Timothy, and Titus. I'll read you one example just to show you. This is an expectation for all believers. Colossians 3, 22 to 24. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. There it is, that same idea of fear, right? Fear of God, not employer. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward as an inheritance, or your inheritance as a reward. So your work, how you do it, is an offering to God. You can glorify Him. But also, how you do your work in relating to your supervisor is massively important. So we're called humbly obey all of your supervisors in a way that is honoring to God and mindful of God, even if you can't stand them. Why? Three reasons. First of all, it is an evidence of grace. Doing this, obeying those who don't deserve to be obeyed and who drive you nuts, is an evidence of the manifestation of grace in your life. Verse 19, this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. And Peter's not unaware that living and following in the steps of Jesus will cause you suffering. He knows this, right? But when you're mindful of God, this is a gracious thing. When you treat people good who treat you poorly, this is a gracious thing. It's an evidence and a manifestation of grace. So tomorrow, how are you going to treat your employer, your supervisor? By the way, we're going to be spending some more time here because Peter's going to take this right at home and say, how do you treat one another? That's coming. This attitude of some humble-hearted submission ought to play out in every area of your life. So tomorrow, that person that you can't stand, only grace will give you the ability to treat that person in a way that is contrary to your nature. Only a present filling of God's grace will enable you to say, okay, Lord, I don't want to treat him kindly or her kindly, but I'm going to because you're commanding me to. So you have to give me what I need in order to obey you. And he will. That's the challenge. Do we believe that God will supply in the moment what he calls us to do? He does. Please go to work in prayer tomorrow. Don't start your work week without depending upon God for the grace to get through it. This is a gracious thing. Grace changes things. When your supervisor gets ticked off at you and starts ranting and raving, how you respond in that moment can be fueled by grace. One thing came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Years ago, I used to work at a company who had a sister company that used the same computer system, and I was responsible for backing up all the files and saving all the data. I did that at lunchtime when everybody sort of went away and turned off their machine. So one day I checked to make sure there were no users who were active, and so I started the process of backing up all the files, and I get this phone call from the sister company, Sister So-and-so, on the other end of the phone, starts yelling at me and giving me new names I had never heard. I mean, for like 30 full seconds, she let me have it because I had started the backup process in the middle of some of her work, and she was quite convinced that everything was lost, and I had just caused, you know, 4 or 5 hours worth of work to be undone. So in that moment, when you're getting cussed out, I mean, she let me have it. When you're getting cussed out by your supervisor, what are you going to do? And I just chose to sit there and take it because I knew we didn't actually lose anything. And if she would pause just long enough for me to just tell her how to fix it, then it would all be all right. So anyway, she did. She, you know, finished, took a deep breath, and I said, you know, I gave her the steps. We just do this. Just wait a little bit. It'll be fine. It better be. And, you know, went on. So she called me 3 days later and just apologized for about 45 minutes. I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I shouldn't have said what I said, etc. The point is, in that moment, I was praying. While she's cussing, I was praying. Lord, I just got to be calm here. We have to be a people of prayer in the moments at work. Prayer is not just for Sunday morning. It's not when you need a new car. It's prayers for everything. And you take your Savior to work with you. And he will supply you the grace you need in the moment that you need it. And so you can endure patiently undeserved treatment. And this verse 19 says, when mindful of God, you suffer unjustly. God says that's a gracious thing. There will be days when you suffer because you're mindful of God. For example, when you refuse to cook the books as your supervisor instructs you, because you're obeying the Lord, you're mindful and you say, I'm not going to do that. And you get reamed out, which that was another occasion that happened to me. All right, falsify this invoice. We're just going to bill for a little extra time. I'm not keying that one in. You can key that one in. And I heard it again. And then a couple days later, I also got invited back and said, thank you for not doing that. I was wrong. Right? God has a way of working. When those moments, when you're mindful of God at work, there will be suffering. You will be treated unjustly. You're going to get made fun of at lunch. You just have to be ready to endure it. Are you willing to endure, for Christ's sake, unjust treatment? Why? Because Jesus endured unjust treatment. He did. And so that's the first reason. It's gracious outworking of God's work in your life when you don't treat your supervisor in the way that he's treating you or she's treating you in an unjust way, but you decide to respond with love, and patience, and respect. That's the first reason. It's pleasing in the sight of God. It's a manifestation of his grace. Secondly, there's a reward that's promised. If you live like this, God promises a reward. Look at verse 20. What credit is it if when you sin and you're beaten for it, you patiently endure it? But if when you do good and suffer for it and you endure it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. There's a credit. There's a reward that comes. When this kind of behavior, when you do what God tells you to do, he promises to reward you. You get credit for it. He says, well done. There's any number of ways this could get worked out. But he promises a reward of our obedience and trusting him, not in ourselves and not in the supervisor. We're going to obey the Lord. This is a gracious thing. It's a good thing. And he promises to reward you for it. And third, this is what we're called to. Verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. What does that say about how you live at work? It means you don't just follow the footsteps of Jesus on the weekends. You follow in the footsteps of Jesus at work every day of your life. We're called to be obedient to him and work out that kind of living. We're called to suffer unjustly because in a broken world that values evil things that God hates and hates the things that God loves, everything is upside down. And so we're going to get maligned for that. Jesus was. He's the only person on the planet who ever did only right and good, and yet he suffered and was killed for it. And Peter is saying, we're called to follow him. We're called to walk in his footsteps. So expect the same treatment, is what Peter's saying. Folks, don't be surprised when you get made fun of at work because you do what's right, or at school, right? Don't be surprised when you get passed over for a promotion because you wouldn't do what your unjust supervisor said and cook the books. You might get passed over for a promotion, but who puts bread on your table? Your supervisor or the Lord God of this universe? Our trust must be in him. We are mindful to him. God will take care of you. Even if you lose your job, he's got another one he can come up with. He's pretty creative. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Obey unjust supervisors, not because they deserve it, but because it pleases the Lord, because he promises a reward, because it is a living manifestation that your faith is real and grace is true and available, and because your master lived that way. So this week, will you do things differently? Maybe you have one of those supervisors. Yeah, you can't stand him. I would invite you to pray for that person right now. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you to pray. Pray for God to give you grace. If you want to live in a way that pleasing to the Lord, that manifests grace in the world, that God will reward. He'll give you the strength to do it. And who knows the outcome? It could be you get called to lunch by your supervisor and he says, why on earth are you such a nice person to me when I am just terribly rude to you? Has that ever happened to anybody? I don't get you. I can't figure you out. I can be as mean as I want to be to you. I'll let you have it every week. You're my punching bag. And you take it? I don't understand. pray for the Lord to manifest the gospel before you. Why? Because that's exactly what we do. We were that way to the Lord. It was our sins that He suffered for. We didn't deserve it. He didn't love us because we deserved loving. He poured out His blood and loved us because He wanted us to be a part of His family so we could live for His glory and demonstrate the reality of that truth. Let your conduct be honorable among unbelievers. They're watching you. They're supposed to be watching you. They're supposed to see that there's something different about you. And we're supposed to live in a different way. We're called to do things that nobody else does through the power of God. So they will ask you, how do you do this? And you'll say, well, it's certainly nothing within me. It's because of the grace of God. I have been shown grace, and so I want to live out that grace. That's what I'm called to do. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am called to proclaim the excellencies of a Savior who did not treat me the way I treated Him. He was gracious to me. So, tomorrow, today, right now, who's on your mind? Who's that supervisor you can't stand? Maybe you're that supervisor. It just occurred to me. You could be sitting here. Let grace change your heart. Live out your grace at work. Let work be a place of worship. And by that I mean, you don't sit there and read your Bible all day and not do what you're supposed to do. You work. You do it unto the Lord. You let the mindfulness of God frame and shape everything you do. And when you go to work, you're on the train, on the way to work, you're praying, Lord, give me grace today. I'm going to have to talk to this person. Give me grace. I am depending upon you. Please come through. And that's how we're called to live. If you're that supervisor, then ask for some grace to change your behavior. And if you haven't been praying for him or her who drives you up the wall, then do it right now. Let's pray. Jesus, we can't do this in and of ourselves, in our own strength. We don't have it within us. When we are getting yelled at for something we didn't do, in 5 minutes, our hearts rise up and we want to defend ourselves. And you were getting accused of things you didn't do either, and you remained quiet, and eventually died for it, so that we could live differently today. You died to free us from enslavement to self-justification. And you granted us amazing grace. And Jesus, we want to follow in your footsteps. You've already done this. You have overcome every obstacle. And Lord, we need your power in our lives. We need your Spirit to do what you're commanding. You've already done it. And so with your Spirit in our hearts, we as your children can obey you. We can do what you have done because you are living and dwelling within us. So give us strength, please. Cause our hearts to be tender towards the people who are so hateful and abusive of us. But Lord, they don't know you and they're blind. And you've called us to be living examples of grace in their lives. And we work with them 5 days a week or 6 days a week. Give us the power to be living witnesses in how we do our work and how we shape our attitudes towards our supervisors. So, Father, please help us. Pour out your Spirit on us so that we live in ways that can patiently endure unjust suffering for the sake of your name being magnified through our lives. And Jesus, I pray, if there's somebody here who does not yet know what that's like, that doesn't know the power of having your Spirit within us, then let this be a day when that changes. God, you tell us if we would cry out to you for forgiveness and life, that you would forgive us and you would give us your Holy Spirit. Maybe we have been that harsh, unkind person towards you. We've ignored you. We have We've spoken poorly about you. We have denied you. And God, you've given us the ability to say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Father, please cleanse us of sin. Bring us into your family, those who don't know you. Cleanse us of wrong attitudes towards those with whom we work. Purify our minds and our hearts. And let us be amazed at this grace that you have called us to. And may we live it out tomorrow morning. We start today, but tomorrow morning, let this work week be different. Because we are different through the cleansing power of your Spirit. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.